Democrats on the Democratic side of the campaign trail, all while GOP presidential hopeful Donald Trump had no campaign events on this holiday. CBS's Ed O'Keefe from Pittsburgh.
Out on the campaign trail, President Biden and Vice President Harris for the first time since she became the Democratic Party nominee.
We protected the pensions of over 1 million workers.
Their joint appearance capped a full Labor Day for Harris, who also visited Detroit.
Oh, it's good to be in the House of Labor.
Flanked by some of the nation's top union leaders.
Everywhere I go, I tell people, look, you may not be a union member. You better thank a union member.
Tomorrow will mark the third and final day of thousands of hotel workers from Boston to Honolulu striking. CBS's Errol Barnett.
Members of the Unite Here union, representing hospitality workers, are seeking higher wages and a reversal of pandemic-era job cuts. Brianna Canencia works two jobs to make ends meet.
I won't have to get 3 hours of sleep. So that's how important it is.
The union expects the strike to last up to 3 days, hitting when the busy summer travel season comes to an end.
West Coast drivers may be stuck in traffic heading home from the long holiday weekend. AAA says after 8 p.m. you should be good. And in the East, FAA equipment outages affecting Newark Airport. Kathleen Bangs is with flight tracker site FlightAware.
We're looking at over 50 canceled flights and 400 delayed flights in and out of the Newark Airport. And if you're at Newark, you're probably experiencing right now a 2.5 hour delay.
Now to Brooklyn, where 5 people were shot during the NYC West Indian American Day parade. It's a huge celebration of Caribbean culture that's often plagued by violence every year. This shooting happened in broad daylight, says NYPD Chief John Chell.
This is an intentional act. One person going to a group, firing his weapon. This was not random.
He says they are still searching for a suspect. There were not just strikes here. They were in Israel, too, but for a much different reason. The war with Hamas, as funerals began for the 6 hostages found over the weekend, murdered by Hamas, as Israel's military says. Correspondent MTS Tayeb is in the region.
Today's national strike has seen Israel's airport shut and its economy grind to a virtual standstill as public anger over the government's handling of the war on Gaza continues to grow.
A teenager wanted for murder in North Carolina has escaped from a detention center. They say the public should be on the lookout for 17-year-old Zane Cesnick. Court records show Cesnick also escaped back in February. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
The Kitchen's Open on WFHR, a feature within the morning show every Monday at 9. Join me, Melissa Kay, and my guests to learn about food-related topics that will interest and entertain.
Harry Bell, here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Democratic running mate Tim Walz tells a Labor Day crowd of supporters in Milwaukee that Donald Trump is keen to enact so-called right-to-work laws that disadvantage workers.
It means the right to work for less money. It means the right to work in dangerous situations. It means the right to work with no pensions. That's what right to work means.
Press pool vans following Walz were involved in a crash on their way to the speech. A Harris campaign staffer reportedly suffered a broken arm. A reporter may have had a concussion. President Biden travels to southwest Wisconsin on Thursday. He's expected to talk about the 2022 Inflation Reduction Act. Meanwhile, Donald Trump will hold a campaign rally in central Wisconsin on Saturday. Trump campaign says it will happen at the airport in Mosinee starting at 1 in the afternoon. This is Civic Media News.
The Brewers' winning streak is over. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports. It took 11 innings, but the Cincinnati Reds took down the Brewers 4-3 on Sunday thanks to a walk-off single. Still, the Brewers took 3 of 4 games to the Reds and stand 9 games ahead of the Chicago Cubs in the NL Central. Now, Milwaukee comes home to take on the St. Louis Cardinals on Monday afternoon in a 3-game series. The NFL season kicks off this week. The Green Bay Packers play the Philadelphia Eagles Friday night in Brazil. The Packers matchup has plenty of intrigue, as both teams have new defensive coordinators and running backs for this season. Wisconsin Badgers trailed early in the fourth quarter but got two late touchdowns to give the Badgers a 28-14 win over Western Michigan on Friday. Now the Badgers take on FCS foe South Dakota this Saturday at Camp Randall Stadium with a 2:30 kickoff. And this week is the start of conference season in high school football. You can find one of nearly a dozen games around the state right here on Civic Media. And with sports, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly clear skies and light winds for us here in the overnight as temperatures tumble into the upper 40s. On Tuesday, sunshine and highs in the upper 70s. By Wednesday, plentiful sunshine once again as our temperatures approach the 80-degree mark. Right now, it's 55.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Presented by the Arthritis Foundation, where we say stop whatever you're doing, baby, and dance. Because movement is just one of the ways you can fight osteoarthritis pain. For more information, visit fightarthritispain.org. This message brought to you by the Arthritis Foundation and the Ad Council.
Missed my opening rant today? It's usually published over at HartmanReport.com, where you can read it and share it with your friends for free. Check it out, HartmanReport.com. So have you noticed that the Republicans are pretty much not talking about a constitutional convention anymore? They used to be gung-ho to rewrite the Constitution. You know, they wanted to put corporate personhood in there. They wanted to change it so that women can't vote. They wanted to do away with the election of senators, repeal the 17th Amendment, take us back to them being appointed by the states. They had all these weird, they wanted to outlaw labor unions, all these weird ideas, but they've stopped talking about it. I mean, they're still moving forward on it, but it's not Project 2025, for example, you know, their ultimate talking document does not have one single mention in it about a constitutional convention. Why would that be? Well, it's because the Supreme Court is doing their work for them. I mean, you know, just they have overturned Article 2. They've overturned the first, fourth, ninth, and 14th amendments. They've overturned Article 1, Section 7. All the details of this whole thing are over at HartmanReport.com. You got to check it out. And welcome back. On the line with us is Lamar Waldron. We're doing a deep dive today into the Kennedy assassination. It's the anniversary of the assassination. And so, Lamar, let's start, you know, where you and I kind of began back in the 90s when we were first, you know, or in the 80s, actually, when we were first doing a real deep dive into this. And that would be with John F. Kennedy's Secretary of State, Dean Rusk.
That's exactly right. And you raised another point. People should know what got us into this, because it's going to come up again when we reveal another secret source, was a fall 1988, special by the most prominent journalist of the 1970s, and was still pretty well known in the 80s, a guy by the name of Jack Anderson. And he did a special on the 25th anniversary. You and I both saw it. Jack Anderson had known Johnny Rovelli and interviewed him and used some of his information. And at the end of that special, it said, and I'm paraphrasing here because I haven't seen it in quite a while, that there were still hundreds of pages of JFK assassination files still secret. So you and I saw the end of that and was like, well, why on earth could be key? You know, because that's the 25th anniversary, fall of 88. You know, what could be so secret that there were still hundreds of pages of files secret? Of course, I mean, we were so naive because they released 4.5 million pages since, but that doesn't even include all the really good stuff. So that's what got us into it. And then we were working at a corporate communications company that you owned.
Yeah, an ad agency,
and doing the newsletter for Georgia Public Television, the PBS outlets in Georgia. And Dean Rusk, who had been JFK's Secretary of State, and the Secretary of State for JFK's successor, Lyndon Johnson, through much of the 60s, too, and you know, so he was a distinguished guy. And they were going to be doing a program of his oral reminiscences, and I read his biography in preparation for that. And so the plan was we'd interview him for the newsletter. I would interview him for the newsletter. You and I would talk about everything ahead of time. And then at the end of the conversation, I was going to ask him a question or two about, you know, what could be so secret that it would still be secret after 25 years? Plus, I'd come across a Washington Post article that had mentioned in the obituary of a Cuban exile that this particular Cuban exile had been part of JFK's plans for a second invasion of Cuba in the fall of 1963. Well, for your listeners that don't have the gray hair you and I have, once Castro came to power, first Richard Nixon tried to assassinate Fidel. That didn't work. The CIA sold JFK a bill of goods, saying, "Well, we'll train these Cuban exiles to go in, and they'll, 1,500 or so Cuban exiles. Yeah, they can conquer all of Cuba. Castro's 100,000 man militia and army. Yeah, these guys can take care of that." And of course, the CIA didn't believe that for a moment, but the CIA was still working with the mafia without telling the new president. They were still working with Trafficante, Roselli, and Marcello.
At the same time, Bobby was aggressively prosecuting these mafia guys.
Right, because that's how JFK became president in the first place, was going after, on televised hearings, widely publicized hearings, going after the mafia, including Trafficante, dragging Sam Giancana, Roselli's boss, and Carlos Marcello in front of the Senate committee. So Senator John F. Kennedy and his brother, the committee's counsel, Robert Kennedy, that's how JFK came to prominence, was going after the mafia and their ally-slash-banker, Jimmy Hoffa. And so once JFK became president, he appointed his brother Bobby attorney general. You know, people can debate the merits of that, but it was no Trump-like situation. I mean, Bobby, everybody, because you and I've talked to, a bunch of people that work with Bobby, and Bobby went after the mafia harder than anyone, because the mafia had it easy under Nixon. He'd been in the mob's pocket since he began.
Well, and J. Edgar Hoover, too, was being blackmailed by them.
Exactly. So, so finally they were going after the mafia. So unknown to Bobby, Attorney General Robert Kennedy and President Kennedy, while the Bay of Pigs is going on, the mafia is still working for the CIA, because, there's no way 1,500 Cuban exiles are going to conquer Cuba or defeat Castro's 100,000-man army militia. But, the hope would be that even though JFK swore U.S. troops would never be used in Cuba, the CIA was certain that once Fidel and probably Raul and Che Guevara were all killed by the mafia, that then JFK would have no choice. There would be chaos in Cuba. A lot of Americans still lived in Cuba, had interest and property that had not quite yet been all nationalized. And so that was what was supposed to happen. Well, that didn't happen. That was a big failure. And then a year and a half after that, something in 1962 called the Cuban Missile Crisis, very important. And because that's when we all thought, and I don't know about you, but I know for me, we would go to the bomb shelter in elementary school.
We were terrified. I was terrified. I was a little kid. I was terrified. We thought the world was going to end. We thought it was going to be a nuclear holocaust.
Exactly right. So that was just a year before JFK's assassination. So that's going to bring us up to what I'm going to reveal that Secretary of State Dean Rusk told me and us about this big secret that it's the reason, one big reason for so much secrecy even today.
We'll get to that in just a moment with Lamar Waldron. Stick around.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
It's a deep dive into who killed John Kennedy, how, and why, with Lamar Waldron, author of The Hidden History of the JFK Assassination.
Who Right now, you can switch from cable television to satellite television for free. That's right. We're offering free equipment, free installation, plus get a free $100 prepaid Visa card. Call the satellite TV hotline right now. Make the switch from cable to satellite television and expand your viewing horizon. On top of free installation, for a limited time, we're offering a fixed price guarantee. With satellite TV, you'll save money over your expensive cable bill. Plus, get access to hundreds of channels. And when you call right now, you can also ask about our seniors and military discounts. So make the switch to satellite TV right now. Everybody gets free installation, free equipment, plus a $100 prepaid Visa card. Call right now and you can switch to satellite TV and be watching everything you wanted to within the next week. And remember, installation's free, so call right now. 800-942-1298. 800-942-1298. 800-942-1298. That's 800-942-1298.
Hi everyone, Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music, every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
Midday Magazine, talk radio that speaks with you, not at you. Join the conversation 4 to 5 Monday through Friday as we discuss local issues, events, and more. We'll be here interviewing some of your favorite local people. And find the podcast at civicmedia.us. Midday Magazine, a dialogue like no other, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
When you think about Labor Day and what it means, do you think about Wisconsin? You should, but let's go back to explain. In the mid-1800s, activists pushed for a day to recognize workers' contributions. President Grover Cleveland signed a law in 1894, making the first Monday of every September a national holiday. So where did the first labor union form in Wisconsin? Wausau? Green Bay? Milwaukee? The answer coming up. The Badger State has an impressive history. Bricklayers and carpenters formed unions in the 1840s and were the first to push for workers' compensation and unemployment insurance. Now, did you guess? This all happened first in Milwaukee. The state's labor unions formed in 1847. The National Labor Union didn't form until 1866, 19 years later. Leading the way for other states is this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey everybody, glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Ready, set, go! Get in the game and be heard with WFHR's Playmakers. Join us 5 to 6 Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We're here to take your calls, sports takes, and ramblings. We'll have breaking stories, game day conversations with players, coaches, and you. Nobody ever made a highlight from the sidelines. Join the team here at WFHR 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, 5 to 6 PM, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for WFHR's Playmakers.
This is your hometown radio. Refresh.
Missed my opening rant today? It's usually published over at HartmanReport.com, where you can read it and share it with your friends for free. Check it out, HartmanReport.com. So have you noticed that the Republicans are pretty much not talking about a constitutional convention anymore? They used to be gung-ho to rewrite the Constitution. You know, they wanted to put corporate personhood in there. They wanted to change it so that women can't vote. They wanted to do away with the election of senators, repeal the 17th Amendment, take us back to them being appointed by the states. They had all these weird, they wanted to outlaw labor unions, all these weird ideas, but they've stopped talking about it. I mean, they're still moving forward on it, but it's not Project 2025, for example, you know, their ultimate talking document does not have one single mention in it about a constitutional convention. Why would that be?
Well, it's because the Supreme Court is doing their work for them. I mean, you know, just they have overturned Article 2. They've overturned the first, fourth, ninth, and 14th Amendments. They've overturned Article 1, Section 7. All the details of this whole thing are over at HartmanReport.com. You got to check it out. And welcome back. On the line with us is Lamar Waldron. We're doing a deep dive today into the Kennedy assassination. It's the anniversary of the assassination. And so, Lamar, let's start, you know, where you and I kind of began back in the 90s when we were first, or in the 80s, actually, when we were first doing a real deep dive into this. And that would be with John F. Kennedy's Secretary of State, Dean Rusk.
That's exactly right. And you raised another point. People should know what got us into this, because it's going to come up again when we reveal another secret source, was a fall 1988 special by the most prominent journalist of the 1970s, and was still pretty well known in the 80s, a guy by the name of Jack Anderson. And he did a special on the 25th anniversary. You and I both saw it. Jack Anderson had known Johnny Roselli, had interviewed him and used some of his information. And at the end of that special, it said, and I'm paraphrasing here because I haven't seen it in quite a while, that there were still hundreds of pages of JFK assassination files still secret. So you and I saw the end of that and was like, well, what on earth could be key? Because that's the 25th anniversary, fall of 88. You know, what could be so secret that there were still hundreds of pages of files secret? Of course, I mean, we were so naive because they released 4.5 million pages since, but that doesn't even include all the really good stuff. So that's what got us into it. And then we were working at a corporate communications company that you owned.
And
doing the newsletter for Georgia Public Television, the PBS outlets in Georgia. And Dean Rusk, who had been JFK's Secretary of State, and the Secretary of State for JFK's successor, Lyndon Johnson, through much of the 60s, too. So he was a distinguished guy. And they were going to be doing a program of his oral reminiscences, and I read his biography in preparation for that. And so the plan was we'd interview him for the newsletter. I would interview him for the newsletter. You and I would talk about everything ahead of time. And then at the end of the conversation, I was going to ask him a question or two about, you know, what could be so secret that it would still be secret after 25 years? Plus, I'd come across a Washington Post article that had mentioned in the obituary of a Cuban exile that this particular Cuban exile had been part of JFK's plans for a second invasion of Cuba in the fall of 1963. Well, for your listeners that don't have the gray hair you and I have, once Castro came to power, first Richard Nixon tried to assassinate Fidel. That didn't work. The CIA sold JFK a bill of goods, saying, "Well, we'll train these Cuban exiles to go in, and they'll, 1,500 or so Cuban exiles. Yeah, they can conquer all of Cuba. Castro's 100,000 man militia and army. Yeah, these guys can take care of that." And of course, the CIA didn't believe that for a moment, but the CIA was still working with the mafia without telling the new president. They were still working with Trafficante, Roselli, and Marcello.
At the same time, Bobby was aggressively prosecuting these mafia guys.
Right, because that's how JFK became president in the first place, was going after, on televised hearings, widely publicized hearings, going after the mafia, including Trafficante, dragging Sam Giancana, Roselli's boss, and Carlos Marcello in front of the Senate committee. So Senator John F. Kennedy and his brother, the committee's counsel, Robert Kennedy, that's how JFK came to prominence, was going after the mafia and their ally-slash-banker, Jimmy Hoffa. And so once JFK became president, he appointed his brother Bobby attorney general. You know, people can debate the merits of that, but it was no Trump-like situation. I mean, Bobby, everybody, you know, because you and I've talked to, you know, a bunch of people that work with Bobby, and Bobby went after the mafia harder than anyone, because the mafia had it easy under Nixon. He'd been in the mob's pocket since he began.
Well, and J. Edgar Hoover, too, was being blackmailed by them.
Exactly. So, finally they were going after the mafia. So unknown to Bobby, Attorney General Robert Kennedy and President Kennedy, you know, while the Bay of Pigs is going on, the mafia is still working for the CIA. Because, you know, yeah, there's no way 1,500 Cuban exiles are going to conquer Cuba or defeat Castro's 100,000-man army militia. But, you know, the hope would be that even though JFK swore U.S. troops would never be used in Cuba, the CIA was certain that once Fidel and probably Raul and Che Guevara were all killed by the mafia, that then JFK would have no choice. There would be chaos in Cuba. A lot of Americans still lived in Cuba, had interest and property that had not quite yet been all nationalized. And so that was what was supposed to happen. Well, that didn't happen. That was a big failure. And then a year and a half after that, something in 1962 called the Cuban Missile Crisis, very important, and because that's when we all thought, and I don't know about you, but I know for me, you know, we would go to the bomb shelter in elementary school, and
we were terrified. I was terrified. I was a little kid. I was terrified. We thought the world was going to end. We thought it was going to be a nuclear holocaust.
Exactly right. So that was just a year before JFK's assassination. So that's going to bring us up to what I'm going to reveal that Secretary of State Dean Rusk told me and us about this big secret that's the reason, one big reason for so much secrecy even today.
We'll get to that in just a moment with Lamar Waldron. Stick around.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
It's a deep dive into who killed John Kennedy, how, and why, with Lamar Waldron, author of The Hidden History of the JFK Assassination. Did you know your dog's food could be harming them? Dr. Marty says there's one major red flag to look out for: cooked dog food, like kibble or canned food. When dog food is cooked at high temperatures, the amino acids often overheat and can create dangerous compounds called AGEs, advanced glycation end products. AGEs can cause dangerous buildups in your dog's system and make them act slower or older than they are, and high amounts are even connected to cancer. It's tricky because even the so-called healthy and organic dog foods are often cooked at high temperatures, so it's really hard to avoid. That's why Dr. Marty created his own formula called Nature's Blend. It's freeze-dried raw. It's shelf-stable, mess-free, full of nutrients, and tastes absolutely delicious to dogs. My dogs, Blue and Chewy, devour this food. I love that it's the healthiest and best food ever for them. Save up to 54% off Nature's Blend and receive free premium dog treats. Just go to drmartypets.com/Tom. That's drmartypets.com/THOM or text Tom to 511-511. All dogs are unique. Your dog's results can and will vary. Text fees may apply. Hey, Tom Hartman here. Why sign up for my program's free daily newsletter over at tom.tv? Well, every morning you receive an email with a complete list of the topics we'll be covering on our weekday program. After the show's over, every afternoon, you'll get what I call Sue's Daily Stack that gives you hot links to every single story and information source that we talked about during the show. Plus, every day while the show is live, you can watch it at tom.tv without cost. That podcast of the show, a complete library of every subject discussed on previous shows, a place to view it live, it's all at tom.tv. So why sign up to get all this at no cost? Because we want you to join us to help change the world for the better. Despair is not an option. Sign up now at tom.tv. That's THOM.tv to get all the ammunition you need to win the water cooler wars. Tom.tv. Tag, you're it.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. Democratic presidential nominee Kamala Harris and running mate Tim Walz spent Labor Day appealing to workers. CBS's Ed O'Keefe reports they still have to get support from a major union.
While most major unions are backing Harris, the International Brotherhood of Teamsters is still holding out. Its president, Sean O'Brien, who spoke at the Republican National Convention, says they won't choose who to endorse until Harris meets with his members.
Striking hotel workers are preparing for a third and final day off the job. Hawaii union member Kade Watanabe hopes hotels will pay attention.
Our brand, the Aloha Spirit, we depend heavily on return guests, and our guests are not going to come back if they feel like they're not going to get the level of service that they've been accustomed to.
Airlines are experiencing delays tonight.
What we've heard so far from the FAA is rather loosely termed an equipment outage. So we don't have anything specific.
That's Kathleen Bangs of FlightAware. CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Toscano.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Plans to reroute part of Enbridge Energy's controversial Line 5 in northern Wisconsin are now in the hands of federal regulators. Enbridge aims to address environmental concerns. The tribe's lawyer is Gussie Lord. She says it's not enough.
This reroute is not a solution. It's a full solution to the dangers of the current pipeline. In fact, it really extends the dangers of the pipeline and increases the threat of a devastating oil spill.
It's not clear when the Army Corps of Engineers will decide on the application. Six different hunting seasons are underway in Wisconsin. The Department of Natural Resources says early seasons for Canada goose and teal, as well as mourning dove, rail, snipe, and common gallinule, all opened this weekend. The Canada goose population in Wisconsin is about 40% higher than average this year. This is Civic Media News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you're a celebrity, every summer is the summer to get drunk in the Hamptons and run off the road. But this is the summer to get caught doing so. First, it was Justin Timberlake, and now we'll add disgraced TV host Matt Lauer's daughter Rami to the list. Page Six reports that Rami, 20 years old and an avid equestrian, went off the road in the early morning hours of July 5th and fled the scene, but left a license plate behind. Someone should have told her that horses don't need license plates. The hat worn by Harrison Ford in the movie Indiana Jones Temple of Doom recently sold in an auction for $630,000. The hat was showcased early in the film when Jones and Short Round jumped from a plane about to crash. The high cost for the hat was much more than other celebrity items that were auctioned off, such as Justin Timberlake's French toast that went for just over $1,000 in 2000, or Scarlett Johansson's used tissue from The Tonight Show in 2008. True stories. Check them out.
For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weekdays from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly clear skies and light winds for us here in the overnight as temperatures tumble into the upper 40s. On Tuesday, sunshine and highs in the upper 70s. By Wednesday, plentiful sunshine once again as our temperatures approach the 80-degree mark. Right now, it's 55.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones. Check 511WI.gov or download the app for road work or closures on your route. Know before you go with 511 Wisconsin, sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
The Morning Show on WFHR. It's serious comedy.
Many people struggle with a lot of these things, though, like making and maintaining friends, making new friends. Mm. These are things that actually, like, I'm very envious of the people that are good at making friends or can just start a conversation with just about anybody.
What people don't understand is that's why James hired me and Melissa, not because, you know, we're talented or anything. He's lonely.
Very.
That's how he gets friends. He hires them to work with him.
My friend's contact list, it is three.
Weekdays from 8 to 10.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hey, thanks so much for sharing our program and for reaching out to our stations and sponsors and letting them know that you're listening. It really means a lot to us. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. We're doing a deep dive into the assassination of John F. Kennedy. Lamar Waldron and I wrote two books, Ultimate Sacrifice and Legacy of Secrecy on this, and then the ultimate book, which Lamar wrote himself more recently, titled The Hidden History of the JFK Assassination. We were just talking about how back in 88, Louise and I owned an advertising agency in Atlanta. It was called the Newsletter Factory.
and we were producing a newsletter. We also produced a newsletter for the Kennedy Library, which is how I got in to meet Dave Powers. We'll talk about that later, but we were producing a newsletter for the local PBS station in Atlanta, and Dean Rusk was coming in to do an oral history, and Lamar went over to interview him on our behalf. Lamar was running the seminar division of our company, which, by the way, we conducted seminars for the NSA, we taught the CIA, we taught Army intelligence, we taught everybody.
Do you remember when the FBI paid for their, I mean, it was like $300, and they paid with, I think, like their drug buy money?
Yeah, it was, these FBI guys showed up and they paid in cash. It was funny. Anyhow, so you went and interviewed Dean Rusk. And he dropped this bombshell that got us just nuts on, okay, we've got to figure out who killed Kennedy because of this.
And who can tell us more about what Rusk revealed. So,
right.
So the first half of the interview, Rusk had his answers. I mean, it was the same because we got to see an advanced showing of that special that was going to be on Georgia PBS, and the biography. I mean, he had his rehearsed answers about, you know, Vietnam and why it wasn't such a bad idea to start with, and then it turned into a bad, you know, and it was, you know, just, you know, it was just the routine stuff. And then at the end, with the tape recorder still rolling, I said, by the way, a friend of mine and I are working on a book. At that time, it was going to be a novel. And I just had a couple questions for you. And he said, sure. And I said, well, yeah, there was this one sentence in this otherwise big, uncontroversial Washington Post article, obituary for a Bay of Pigs veteran, that said JFK was planning a second invasion of Cuba in the fall of 63. And I haven't read that in any history book or seen it in any documentary or anything ever. Is the Washington Post wrong? Are they right? What's the story? And he's like, oh, no, yes, we were going to do that. Yeah, we were. And so, and I'm like, okay.
This is Kennedy's Secretary of State.
JFK Secretary of State is telling me something that's not in any history book, in any documentary, in any released document, anywhere. Because by that time, we'd been to the to this private archives in Washington. I'd been to the National Archives, and so it was just like, okay, so. And his demeanor changed completely. He's basically not the most exciting person. He's a pretty dry guy, and his special, the oral history, was dry. His incidents, most of them in his biography, were dry. But boy, he became animated because he said, "You know, I haven't talked about this in decades to anyone because it was so secret at the time." I'm like, okay. In fact, he said it was so secret, I didn't even know the full story on the plan until after JFK was assassinated. So
right.
We're talking about a plan so secret that JFK's own Secretary of State, and later on I found out even JFK's own Secretary of Defense, Robert McNamara, really didn't know the full scope of this plan until after JFK died.
Right, and let me add very quickly, we'll get to this later on in the program, but, you know, I went to Washington, D.C. and met with a general who was involved in this, who essentially threatened my life if I ever went public with this.
Let's save that
plan
story, because we're going to be getting to that in just a few minutes. So bottom line is, he said, yeah, we were going to do that. It was a live program. This wasn't a maybe, an if. No, this was a go.
And this is after the Bay of Pigs.
This is Bay of Pigs, April 61, Cuban Missile Crisis, October 1962. So now we're into November 1963. Literally when JFK died, this plan was imminent. And I asked him, I said, no, look, so we know, Congress, the Senate and the House, they found out in the 70s, the CIA was working with this mid-level Cuban official that really didn't have much power, but he had a big travel budget so he could go to Europe and places so he could meet his CIA contacts, named Rolando Cubella. Is that what we're talking about? He says, oh, no. He was so dismissed. He said Cubella was so far down the totem pole compared to the person we were dealing with, you know, that the Kennedys were dealing with. And so, okay, so you know, there are not that many high-level leaders in Cuba, you know. Che and Raul and, of course, Fidel Castro were the only three I knew. And so he didn't give me the name of the person, but he said he was – I said, you know, so, you know, there's those three. And then he said, yeah, so basically the guy the Kennedys were working with was – he implied he was higher than Che, so that would pretty much make him the third most powerful man in Cuba. So this was just stunning.
By the way, John Kennedy's Secretary of State confirming that there was another plot to assassinate Castro that involved one of the top three Cuban officials that Bobby and John were.
And this is important. Your listeners will hear this again. He said, we didn't look at it as an assassination plot. We were, it was going to be a coup. This high-level guy in Cuba was going to overthrow Fidel. Yeah, it was going to be secret that we were, secret forever, that we were secretly helping this guy. And so, you know, it would just look like, you know, Castro had been killed, and we later found out who he blamed on. And so, you know, no one would ever know that the U.S., you know, JFK wouldn't be taking credit for this in the 64 election. No, it would just be this thing happened in Cuba, there was this coup, and so this new guy's in charge, and we can deal with this new guy. And by the way, people won't have to take my word for that, because get this, the tape recorder kept rolling, because I kept looking at it, and the little wheels were spinning. This was old, you know, cassette tape recorder. But as soon as Russ started talking about the secret plan, when you listen to the tape, it fades out. So, you know, make of that what you will. But people have to take our word. You can, if you Google Vanity Fair, Dean Rusk, and probably Tom Hartman or Lamar Waldron, Vanity Fair confirmed this with Rusk, and he did it on the record and said, yep, that's what we were going to do. So after Rusk, then you and I were looking hard. So who else can we talk to? You know, the obituary in the Washington Post that mentioned it, well, that guy was dead. And the first FBI agent to ever go up against J. Edgar Hoover, a guy by the name of Bill Turner, William Turner.
Who was such a good guy.
Such a great guy. I highly recommend his
book. We had such, yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You know, he's just a super guy. I mean, yeah. You know, this is when presidents, attorney generals, and senators were all afraid of Hoover, and Bill Turner went up against him and you know, got drummed out of the FBI, of course, but that let him get into the JFK stuff. So he had written a book, and he had interviewed a Cuban exile, apparently close to Bobby Kennedy, by the name of Enrique Ruiz Williams, who went by the name Harry Williams.
Right.
And so,
Bill's book, by the way, that was The Fish is Red, wasn't it? Was the title?
Well,
of the book?
Fish is Red, and then it was reissued as Deadly Secrets, and right. I think it may even have a new name now. But like I say, yeah, William Turner, you know, if he wrote it, you definitely want to read it. And so he even sent us his interview with Harry. He said, look, I don't want you guys starting from zero, because he'll just cover the stuff he's already told me. You want to get more than what he told me. So that was just great. So we didn't have to just cover what Harry had already told Bill. We said, okay, we know all this stuff. Now let's ask the next questions and get this. So turns out Harry was a big hero of the Bay of Pigs. He wasn't a leader at the Bay of Pigs. He was a hero. I mean, he was a hero. He was badly wounded. He was in a field hospital with maybe 20 other of the most badly wounded prisoners after they were all captured by Fidel. Fidel Castro goes into the field hospital. Harry reaches into his boot when Castro's about 6 feet away from him, and even though Harry's badly injured, he pulls out a pistol, points it at Fidel Castro, and fires. Unfortunately, Harry's fellow prisoners had thought Harry was so badly injured he might commit suicide with that pistol. They had removed the bullets. Fidel, though, so Fidel's guards all jumped on this badly injured Harry. Fidel waved him off. He said, look, this guy's got guts. He's got courage. Let's take him and these other guys. Let's, you know, put him in a good Cuban hospital. So, you know, so for trying to kill Fidel, Harry got in a good Cuban hospital, and a guy came to visit Harry Williams, a guy who was the head of the Cuban army, the number three guy in Cuba, the highest black official in Cuba, because, of course, Fidel and Raul weren't black, and Che wasn't even Cuban. So they had known each other back when Commander Juan Almeida, who was then the head of the Cuban army, and would stay the head of the Cuban army for years, back when he would guard Harry's car, when Harry would go to that famous restaurant in Havana, I think it's called the Floridita, that Hemingway made famous, and when Almeida was a teenager, you know, Harry would pay him to watch his car to make sure nothing happened to it, but they stayed friends. And so now Commander Almeida is the head of the Cuban army, and he comes to see Harry. And we now know, Harry didn't even know this, Commander Almeida had made it clear 2 months before the Bay of Pigs that he was ready to defect and help the United States, But the CIA didn't act on that, even though their sources were telling them this, because the CIA was confident the mafia was going to kill Fidel, so they didn't need the head of the Cuban army. How stupid, right? But anyway, Commander Almeida told Harry, look, if you ever get the chance to convey information to John Kennedy, tell him that I think Fidel's going off the rails. It's not the socialist paradise. It's on its way to becoming a dictatorship. You know, a bunch of people helped overthrow the Nixon-supported dictator Batista, but, you know, a lot of those guys had gone by the wayside. Either they had to fled or they'd been killed. And so, that friendship was rekindled there. Harry and the other badly wounded prisoners were released and told to go to the United States. And basically they had until the end of 1962 to get the Kennedys to ransom the other Bay of Pigs prisoners, or Castro implied he might start shooting them. And so Harry came to the United States. He was regarded as a total hero by all the other Cuban exiles. And he was the one that went to Bobby Kennedy and said, you've got to do this. And things dragged out, and Richard Nixon, responsible for the whole mess, torpedoed early plans to get the prisoners out. So this became a very dramatic thing, and Harry and Robert Kennedy got those prisoners out by Christmas of 1962.
Yeah, no, it was an amazing story. I remember Harry telling us, well, we'll get into that in a minute. We're talking with Lamar Waldron, and we'll be right back. It's a deep dive into the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. Stick around.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
Lamar and I spent two decades. Lamar spent about 30 years digging into this stuff. We'll be right back.
Would you like to get a free smartphone? If you own a smartphone, listen to this incredible offer that's almost too good to be true. Right now, you can switch your plan and get service with us for as little as $2 a day. Guaranteed for life. Plus, get a free smartphone every year. Call the free smartphone hotline now and we'll move your number from your existing service. Think of your savings. So don't wait. Switch your plan, save money, plus get a free smartphone every year. Call the free smartphone hotline right now. We guarantee you're going to love our service. If you don't like what we say, you can hang up on us. But you won't. Right now, you can switch your plan and get service with us for as little as $2 a day. Guaranteed for life. Call the free smartphone hotline right now. 800-942-1325. 800-942-1325. 800-942-1325. That's 800-942-1325.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
Hi everyone, Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music, every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
There are so many traditions built around the Wisconsin Badgers, game day and the mascot, which in 1889 was a real badger. It didn't go well. Eventually, the animal was replaced by a person. An on-campus contest chose the official mascot name, Buckingham U. Badger. Still, Wisconsin's official animal is a badger. But do you know which animal almost earned this title instead? Gray squirrel? White-tailed deer? Black bear? The answer is coming up. The original Badger's nickname is actually associated with lead miners in the state, not the animals. It was the 1820s, and the miners often didn't have shelter in the winters, so they lived like badgers, digging tunnels into the hillsides where they worked. So was there almost another state animal? Yes, the white-tailed deer, which later became the official wildlife animal. But the history surrounding the badgers is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Midday Magazine, talk radio that speaks with you, not at you. Join the conversation 4 to 5 Monday through Friday as we discuss local issues, events, and more. We'll be here interviewing some of your favorite local people. And find the podcast at civicmedia.us. Midday Magazine, a dialogue like no other. Only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Change starts with you. You can be calling your Democratic or Republican representatives to let them know what you think by calling 202-224-3121. It's the Capitol switchboard. It'll get you right through to them. So for this week's special video, for the supporters of our program that we put up over at TomHartmann.com, I stepped into the Wayback Machine, and it's really remarkable when you go back over what President Obama accomplished, and the Democrats in the House of Representatives and in the Senate, what they accomplished between 2008 and 2010 when they controlled Congress and the White House versus everything that the Republicans blocked. I mean, the Democrats in those 2 years, they saved Chrysler, they saved General Motors, they turned 800,000 monthly job losses into job gains, they increased spending and education spending, decrease the cost of student loans, all kinds of great stuff. But then when the Republicans took over, they blocked a veterans job bill, they blocked Wall Street reform, they blocked immigration reform, they blocked political ad disclosure. And this is just the little tip of the iceberg. You can see the whole video over at TomHartmann.com. Welcome back. We're talking to Lamar Waldron, author of The Hidden History of the JFK Assassination and two other books about the Kennedy assassination we worked on for the better part of 20 years that were authored by both of us, Ultimate Sacrifice and Legacy of Secrecy, although Lamar did the majority of the work on these books. So, Lamar, Harry Williams, very close friend with Bobby Kennedy, spends time with him in New York, spends time with him in the Hamptons, is working with him to try to overthrow the Bay of Pigs hero working. Well, let me just toss it to you. Continue.
Well, what happened was, so it became known in the Cuban exile community in Miami, which still had a lot of back and forth at that time with Cuba, of course, that Bobby Kennedy and Harry Williams were close. And so one day, Harry Williams gets a call from his old friend, the commander of the Cuban Army, actually the guy who founded the Cuban Army back when there were only like Castro and his 12 disciples, literally the guy who founded the Cuban Army and was the commander of the Cuban Army, actually Commander Juan Almeida, called Harry on the phone in Miami. And Harry's a little cautious because he's like, well, isn't this phone bugged? And Almeida says, oh, no, I control, that's controlled by the Army, monitoring the conversations, to between Cuba and Miami. So, no, you don't have to worry. This is probably the only safe line in all of Cuba to talk on. And he says, look, if you can get Bobby to get JFK on board, kind of like we had talked about back in the spring of 61, but now it's May of 63, I'll overthrow Fidel Castro for you, but I've got to know, I've got to have the support of the President of the United States. So I actually have Bobby Kennedy's phone logs from that time. And you can see Bobby gets a call from Harry Williams. Bobby Kennedy calls JFK. They no doubt talk about Almeida's offer. And then Bobby Kennedy calls Harry Williams back, no doubt saying that, yeah, JFK is on board. And by the way, it's within a week of that that we now have files, thanks to the Fifth Government Committee, the Assassination Records Review Board, that show that high levels of the American military and other national security groups start making plans for what to do if high-level Cuban military official were to make an outreach to the United States. And, of course, you know, so they start making these plans. It'll keep going all the way through November. But, of course, most of the people working on those plans are just looking at it as like Dean Rusk, as a what-if exercise. Right. In reality, only JFK, Robert Kennedy, and a few other high officials, including Secretary of the Army Cyrus Vance, the father of the Manhattan District Attorney, Cyrus Vance Jr. So again, you see how secret it is.
So these were the only guys who knew that in the first week of December of 63, which was, you know, 2 weeks after Kennedy was assassinated.
Literally, we have the date from the CIA file and implying it from what Harry said, but it was literally 10 days after Dallas, December 1st, 1963. That was the date. One military file doing that contingency, that the what-if planning, literally calls that D-Day. So yeah, no, we know.
So they were going to take out Castro on that day, and the thing that stopped it was Kennedy being assassinated.
Exactly. So a couple more super important things about the coup plan, aside from the fact of how secret it was. As far as I can tell, only about a dozen American officials, including, you know, JFK and Bobby, of course, and Cyrus Vance, and Alexander Haig, of all people, knew that all this planning that started the week after Almeida called Harry Williams wasn't just a what-if scenario, but right. It was the real thing.
But so, they also had to figure out what to do to deny, you know, to have deniability, and this is what led to the cover-up of the Kennedy assassination.
Well, and as Harry Williams told us, there would be someone in Cuba to take the fall for it,
right.
And from those planning documents, we know that would be a Russian or a Russian sympathizer. So the CIA would be responsible for getting a Russian or a Russian sympathizer in place in Cuba, and they would take the blame.
All right, can you spell Lee Harvey Oswald? We will continue this conversation on the other side of this break. We're doing a three-hour deep dive into the Kennedy assassination with, in my opinion, the preeminent scholar, the guy the Chicago Tribune called one of the best investigative journalists in the United States. Variety magazine called him the ultimate JFK historian, Lamar Waldron. Stick around, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Did you know your dog's food could be harming them? Dr. Marty says there's one major red flag to look out for: cooked dog food, like kibble or canned food. When dog food is cooked at high temperatures, the amino acids often overheat and can create dangerous compounds called AGEs, advanced glycation end products. AGEs can cause dangerous buildups in your dog's system and make them act slower or older than they are, and high amounts are even connected to cancer. It's tricky because even the so-called healthy and organic dog foods are often cooked at high temperatures, so it's really hard to avoid. That's why Dr. Marty created his own formula called Nature's Blend. It's freeze-dried raw. It's shelf-stable, mess-free, full of nutrients, and tastes absolutely delicious to dogs. My dogs, Blue and Chewy, devour this food. I love that it's the healthiest and best food ever for them. Save up to 54% off Nature's Blend and receive free premium dog treats. Just go to drmartypets.com/Tom. That's drmartypets.com/THOM or text Tom to 511-511. All dogs are unique. Your dog's results can and will vary. Text fees may apply.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
Dynamite! Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. Holiday travel is winding down, but there are still many people on the roads and in the skies tonight. CBS News correspondent Errol Barnett is monitoring the motion.
On the road to New York's LaGuardia Airport, leaving early was a winning play for tennis pro Mackenzie McDonald, returning to Orlando after playing in the U.S. Open.
Labor Day and this weekend can be a busy time to travel. Worried about that?
Actually, it's been easier. Getting out of Manhattan was a lot easier this morning. I was actually very lucky.
Newark Liberty International Airport reports significant flight disruptions it blames on, quote, FAA equipment outages. Thousands of striking hotel workers are still off their jobs.
Tuesday marks a third day of striking involving thousands of hotel workers across several American cities. Cade Watanabe is president of the local chapter of the Unite Here Union in Hawaii and says 5,000 of their workers have joined the picket lines.
We don't have the staffing. We don't have the tools. We don't have the resources.